Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran today with Andrea Darlis, Dave Bennett, Jen DeSalvo, Sandberg, Joey Romano. Good to see everybody.
Good to see you.
It's great. I love being here at this time of the hour, and I love being here on the show with you guys. Of course, I wish Steve is here, but he'll be back later this week. We got a full show today, of course, the Monday after Oscars. Lots to talk about. I'm excited to be here. You excited?
We are very happy to have you here. And also, just so you know, we're going to prepare you. It's going to be light out soon, so you'll actually you'll see this thing called the sun in about an hour. Maybe
you okay
sooner.
Walking, waking up this time of day?
It is strange to think about. but you guys obviously more disciplined than I when it comes to bedtimes. I'm sure.
Except for last night.
Right?
Woo, that went long.
I know. I started to sweat a little bit because I know that the job is to you got to get in here at 5:30, and it was late, and I was like, like watching the end of the Oscars. I was already had a pillow on my head, ready to go.
Oh, me too.
But the good news is I did win the family poll.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Good job.
The wager was I get to pick the restaurant. The next time we go out, I get to pick the restaurant.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do you not normally get to do that?
Dave, I don't know what kind of family you're from, but my wife and my son usually go one and two in that order.
Right.
And then I'm three. So I usually am the guy goes, since my palate is pretty generic, I can take on any kind of food, so I just go with the flow.
Now you should do something fancy.
I know,
since
right?
you want like a Gibson
or since I'm probably
Chicago
still paying.
Cut.
Since I'm probably still paying, maybe the real thing is going to the deli and getting a couple sandwiches.
There you go.
Right?
Chipotle's always good.
Yeah, there you go. Chipotle's good. Jen DeSalvo, good to see you too.
Yes, nice to be working with you again. You know, I'm impressed that all of you guys stayed up. I went to bed at 6:30 last night.
Oh my God.
So you will have to tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I went back and forth. I thought it was a boring show, and then I thought it was good, and then it had, like, just these lackluster moments. And then when Frances McDormand spoke, I thought, best speech ever.
Yeah, she was great.
Phenomenal.
Inclusion writers,
oh,
right.
My God. When she made all the women stand up in the audience. Oh.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we, since that's our first one today in the 6 at 6, let's start the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
The 90th Annual Academy Awards are now in the books. The film Shape of Water won Best Picture, took home 4 Oscars overall. Also, host Jimmy Kimmel was able to weave in and out of the serious issues of sexual misconduct in Hollywood and still make room for jokes about Matt Damon. Andrea, what was your favorite part of the show last
night? I think my favorite part was the Frances McDormand speech.
Yeah.
I went back and forth again, and I think Kimmel's great. I didn't know if he should have brought up. They should have mentioned Harvey Weinstein. He did it tactfully, though.
Yeah.
Got a few laughs, but I have to say, hands down, Frances McDormand's speech was just fantastic. And I loved how they had was it Jodie Foster and Jennifer Lawrence giving out the Best Actress? You know, I like the references to old Hollywood too. I know they were
a lot.
Celebrating.
They brought some people back out.
Yeah,
Dave, what was your favorite part of the
movie? Well, I like Jordan Peele's speech. It was short, but it was right to the point. But I think my favorite moment was probably the jet ski at the beginning. I thought that was really funny.
Chicago fared not so well. Steve James, who was the documentary filmmaker for Abacus, lost. Of course, Laurie Metcalf from Lady Bird did not get the nod. But also, Jordan Peele and Kumail Nanjiani both spent time in Chicago.
Yes,
doing improv, and it's amazing to see them both on stage at the Oscars.
Isn't it cool
for someone from comedy and who was doing comedy at the same time they were in? Knows them. I was amazed. It just blows your mind to be like, wow, these guys are on stage and the pinnacle of entertainment, and they're getting laughs.
You know what I like? Did you guys watch the pre-show? And it was with Michael Strayhorn and I forget who else was hosting it, but they were showing whoever would come up, like the young man Timothée Chalamet, who was nominated for
Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm. They would show videos of them home were watching them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that cool? And they had like his old drama teacher
from LaGuardia High School in New
York.
Yeah,
that was really Cool, I like that.
Yeah. And that's the big art school there. The other big issue that, or big storyline that came out of the Oscars had to do with the red carpet, Ryan Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest embroiled in his own sexual allegations, but a lot of A-listers skipped him.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the E! Broadcast, he didn't have the people who were on the ABC broadcast. They skipped him, did not go to Ryan Seacrest.
Really?
The question is whether or not that was on purpose, if that was just the flow of the show, or they were just staying for the, or just doing the ABC broadcast, but not a good night for Ryan Seacrest.
I started watching E! About maybe between 4 and 5 o'clock, and that's what I noticed, Justin. Everybody, he didn't have any A-listers or even B-listers, and Juliana, they should have actually flipped roles.
Yeah.
Juliana had this fake audience in the background.
She's at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Yeah, and they looked so bored.
They looked so bored and uncomfortable.
Yeah, they're kind of just nodding. They're like, okay, when can we get up here? Yeah. You know?
Number two. That's
the morning show duck.
That's the segue.
All right, they're good. Yesterday, the Democrat candidates for attorney general got together for a debate at the Cards Against Humanity space on Elston. It's a co-production with the Chicago Sun-Times. When asked about how Lisa Madigan had fared in her time as attorney general, the crowd mostly gave her high grades, A's and B's, a couple of minuses in there. But amazing to think about a race in this day and age where the incumbent is put on a pedestal of sorts. But,
how about that?
But that's what's happening here, because she's not running again. So the candidates are essentially saying she did a great job.
Yeah, I think Lisa Madigan has done a great job, and I think she's in a very tricky position, as we know. I think she's separated herself from her dad quite well. You know, there's some who would argue that maybe she should have pursued charges against him or conflict of interest or whatnot. But as an attorney general, I think she's done a great job.
Yeah, surprised there weren't more questions about that, but we'll talk about that later in the show.
Can I ask you, Justin, because the Democratic field is so crowded, and I love this race.
There's eight candidates.
Yeah. Eight candidates. Did anybody, maybe one or two candidates, really pop for
you? It's hard. I moderated the debate yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more in the 7 o'clock hour about it, but you know, they all did great. The real thing there is it's Kwame Raoul, the state senator from the 13th district, Barack Obama's old state senate seat on the south side, and Pat Quinn. It's probably the first time I've ever heard in any attorney any debate where they said, where it's not for governor, where someone says, well, as governor, I did this and I did that. And I'm like, wait a second, you're not running for governor. You're running for attorney general, which is a step down. It's so strange to think that somebody who held the highest office in the state is now running for a secondary office.
Isn't that
but that, there was a lot of, whenever Pat Quinn spoke, it was, well, when I was governor, I did this and I did that. And I'm like, what? What's happening here? So, all right. A tremendous milestone today is the USS Vinson arrives in Vietnam, the city of Da Nang. It's the first time the U.S. aircraft carrier has been back to Vietnam since the fall of Saigon, 1975. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Boy, that certainly
Think about
is.
How the world is changing. They're there for just to sort of help Vietnam with a dispute in the South China Sea. But amazing to think that that's the first time that an aircraft carrier has been back to that country since the war.
How about that? Yeah. And Vietnam's becoming kind of a tourist destination, too, now,
for travelers. What a milestone. What a head-scratcher to think about the U.S. Navy being back in that area. Saturday Night Live broke from recent routine for not poking fun at mass tragedies. They broke to make fun of mass tragedies. Alec Baldwin took to his mediocre impression of Donald Trump and made fun of the president's claim that he would run into a school with or without a weapon if there was an active shooter. I'm not usually a big fan of his impression. I think he's funny, Alec Baldwin. But I thought he did a good job with this because it was making fun of what the president's remarks after Parkland, but he did a good job. I thought that this was a better performance, mostly because they had time to digest. Mm-hmm. They had the Olympics to think about this story and have a more nuanced approach to it, as opposed to it happening on Thursday and they had to make fun of it on Saturday.
Right. Time to have it soak in, sure.
Yeah. All right. State of Indiana's hungover today for the first time. First time ever it was legal to buy alcohol on Sunday. The old law was finally struck from the books, so the Sunday papers were littered with several pictures of customers holding cases of Coors Light for the camera.
How about that? Wasn't it funny just seeing the TV reports and people said, oh, we just came out for the experience?
It's so funny to see so many people with cans of, you know, huge cases being like, well, I could buy alcohol. You could buy it on Saturday and Monday on Saturday, but that's not. But the losers in this story, nobody seems to talk about it, is the state of Michigan. It was a family thing for families close to the state of Indiana border to go to Michigan to get their booze on Sundays and come back. My wife is from Valparaiso, and that's what they would do. They would go from South Bend to Michigan and back, and now Michigan's a loser. Illinois, too.
Right, so, no kidding. Yeah.
All right, Loyola basketball going back to the big dance. For the first time since 1985, the Ramblers took care of business in the Missouri Valley Tournament, knocked off Illinois State to secure an automatic bid in the NCAA Tournament. They ended the season at 28-5, but Dave, that doesn't mean that they're going to get a high seed. Loyola, since it's his first time since 1985, probably going to get in, but...
They are in, yeah. But yeah, they won't get a real high seed, but that I don't think they're really going to complain or be surprised by that. The fact is they probably had to win the tournament to get in.
Right.
And now they're in. It's a great story.
And they're going to be the only team from Illinois. Maybe, I mean, I guess we're holding out on DePaul when they do the Big East tournament, but who else is even possible at this point?
No, I mean, I think this is going to be it.
This is it.
And, you know, they're a good team. They're a fun team to watch. And remember, Justin, when they went into the Missouri Valley a few years ago, people would say, well, I don't know. That's a pretty tough league among the mid-majors. And they've turned out some good teams over the years. How are they going to fare in the Valley? Right. And now they win the conference tournament. They finish first in the regular season. They're the coach of the year, the player of the year. So good luck to them.
Good luck.
Yeah, who knows? The last time they were in, they got to the Sweet 16 in 1985.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
Yeah,
there's that optimism. All right, good. Well, that's the 6 at 6.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I missed my Tomasulo fix this Saturday. I missed it. I just had something else going on, but I got to check it out. DVR'd it.
He's so talented. I love his segments.
And there'll be people come out and say, oh, what is... I'm like, it's so great that WGN is doing local stuff on Saturday nights.
Isn't it great?
Long live Pat Tomasulo. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Of course, today, Pulaski Day. And, Andre, you have coming up the... The birthday celebration for the city of Chicago?
I did a three-part series on Chicago's birthday, and it's 181, so it's not a... And it's a milestone, but it's not a, you know, I guess a round number, per se. We kind of explored, you know, we got into a little bit of the history, talked a little bit how things have changed. For the better, you know, is Chicago still the second city? It's kind of catapulted into number one in many, many respects. Tourism.
Less tuberculosis.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Exactly. No more iron lungs.
Right, no more Ireland.
So we'll start that tomorrow. We'll have that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Today, of course, Casimir Pulaski Day, which I've seen in the newspapers this morning saying Pulaski Day. They've gotten rid of the Casimir, which I don't like. If you're going to go for the full day, go for the full day. And it was at one point, I remember this as a kid, that I got the day off of school. It was always the day, the random day that you were like, wow, this is amazing.
My kids used to get it.
Is that not a thing anymore? I mean, maybe not a CPS, because I have a student in CPS. They're school today.
I don't know. On the South Side, we call it Crawford Day.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. I know that's the age-old argument, Pulaski or Crawford, but yeah.
Yeah. I know. I never get school off for Ashland Day.
I know, right? Or Armitage Day.
But today, Pulaski Day in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois as well. So
yeah, most of the banks are closed, obviously, schools as well. So just check ahead. Federal, state, many of the state offices, though, usually are open.
I was going to say, I love it that we still continue to honor the Polish heritage here in the state of Illinois. But close a couple of the state offices.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to that.
Both my arms and legs were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thighs, pink stuff in my eyes, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's Northwestern Medicine VP, call Dr. Morse right now.
Love it. I love the songs, the John DeCoste songs. It feels like I feel like I'm at home when, you know, as a listener getting a chance to sit in Steve's chair to hear the fun introductions to the regular guests. Sandra, it's fun. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning. And, of course, Mondays is a day that we check in with Dr. Most, as you just heard John DeCoste talk about, Dr. Most on the line. Mm-hmm. Doctor, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
It's good. This segment sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, of course, for the pursuit of better healthcare starts here. And we are talking about healthcare this morning. I'm good. And, you know, I'm fascinated by the story we're going to talk about today. And I'm glad that we're going to talk about it because I saw it last week and I was like, this is great. Apple, Amazon, other companies want to get into their own healthcare business. They see this as an opportunity for cost-cutting measures when it comes to providing their employees with better healthcare. What's the impetus? Is that the straight-up impetus for why these companies are shedding the old standard ways of going through old healthcare companies and thinking about starting their own?
Well, you know, you would hope that it's not. You would hope that that's not the number one reason, but ultimately it's got to be in there. But we really would look at it and say, are these companies saying, hey, we're tired of hearing from our employees saying they had a bad experience with healthcare, they had to take a day off of work to go see a doctor, you know, the drug costs are too high, had to wait to get something. So hopefully they're looking at it and saying, you know what, you guys, you're so siloed and so fragmented, we're going to go out there and try to prove that we can do this a little bit better.
Yeah, I wonder about why they would do it, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there's two sides to this coin. One, which is, can they provide better health care to their employees, because their employees may be complaining about the health care that they get usually. But on the other side is this idea that it is a monster cost to employers. I mean, to be able to offer health care to all the employees that work for an Apple or an Amazon, it is a staggering number. And if you could provide it at a cheaper cost, then you're actually doing better for your business.
Yeah, that's the big thing with them. You know, for most people, most companies, the cost for an employee for their health care to the direct cost of the company is about $7,000. So they have, 1.2 million people, if I'm not mistaken, in these companies. So that's over $7 billion. So their company, if they look at it, and they're smart people, you look at Berkshire Hathaway, you look at Chase, you look at those companies that have said, we have become more efficient. We are able to cut 10%, 15% costs out of our companies while still delivering a better product like Amazon. You know, you're talking about $700 million to their bottom line, close to $1 billion, right, if you can get up to that 15% saving.
You know, it is interesting because for a long time, many corporations and American businesses, they have not waded into the area of providing their own healthcare. But when you talk about innovation and talk about just, you know, how business is working today, where a lot of stuff can be in-house, it does make a lot of sense.
Oh, absolutely it does. And especially if you have the number that's big enough to say, I can do it this way. Believe me, there's going to be a lot of companies watching these people, watching these companies to see what they do. You know, we always say, oh, Amazon can't get into healthcare. Yeah, well, Amazon used to deliver books.
Right.
And look at what they've done. You know, they make an announcement that they're going into an industry, stocks tank in those other industries knowing that they are there. So very innovative. And you got someone like Berkshire Hathaway, very diversified company. And you have the financial backing of Chase, which is a huge company as well.
Now, they've done this where Amazon, Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway have partnered up. This is something, do you see this as a trend where these big businesses, instead of offering their own specific, we're going to get into the healthcare business just as our own company to provide healthcare for our own employees, this is something where Amazon, Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway have teamed up?
So they teamed up and they said, hey, we're going to build this healthcare company. That's about all they've said. So people are saying, are they going to have an insurance company? Are they going to try to deliver care differently? Are they going to partner with health systems? Are they going to go after the pharmacy benefits? No one's really sure, but I can tell you there's a lot of people that are very interested and some companies that are probably shaking a little bit knowing that these guys are going at it.
Doc, could this have an impact on something as simple as sick days? Because I know that's big to companies as well. Many companies allow you to roll it over, which obviously has a huge cost for that. Others say at the end of the year, you're done.
Yeah. You know, they use it, you use it or lose it.
Right.
But really, when you look at sick days, companies get what I call a triple hit on sick days. One, they pay you because you're using it as a sick day. Two, they're paying for your health care while you're gone to see the doctor. And three, they lose out on that productivity of you not being there. So when you're not in that chair, when Steve's not in that chair, and Justin's getting paid for today, and, well, Steve's on vacation, but let's say he was sick, he's getting paid. But they get that triple whammy, right?
Right.
And then you talk to patients, and they say, well, I had to take a day off to go see my doctor. So they take 8 hours of sick day for a 15-minute visit.
Right.
So these companies are going to be saying, no. We're going to have better access to care. We're going to make it so it's more convenient for you. We're going to do things so that you don't need to take a sick day to go see a doctor.
Now, there are a lot of questions about, I mean, because obviously we're just talking about this because they announced, like you just said, a healthcare company. We don't know what that means. But when you do think about what are some of the things that could go awry when companies get into the business of providing their employees their own specified or specific healthcare?
Yeah, you know, some people get concerned. Are they going to limit what we can do? Are they going to make it so small that I have to go to Dr. X? And boy, I used to go to Dr. Y and I can't go to him anymore. So will they limit that panel? Will they shut that down and close it down? Are they going to limit some of the things that they can do? Because now, with some of the changes in Obamacare, they can offer different products now. But we have tons of people taking this high deductible plan, you know, that shifts the cost back to the patient and back to the employee. So they may be looking at that and saying, wait a second, if we partner and we can take some of these costs back, we're going to have more engaged employees. We're going to have people that want to stay with us. We're going to have people that want to come to work for us because of this.
Yeah, Dr. Kevin Most joins the Cochrane Show on Mondays. Let's do this. I want to take a quick break, so stay close, and we'll come back on the other side. It's Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm in for Steve Cochran, Justin Kaufman here, Andre Darlis, of course, Dave Bennett as well, Jen DeSalvo, Sandberg, Joe Romano. Everybody's here but Steve. He'll be back a little bit later in the week. But right now we're talking with Dr. Kevin Most about healthcare exchanges and whether or not healthcare offered by regular companies, if Amazon, Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway just partnered up to form a healthcare company for their employees, whether or not that's going to be the future. And this word gets thrown around a lot, Dr. Most, when we talk about disruptors. And we hear this a lot in the tech industry here in Chicago and with startups where people are looking for new ways to really be able to offer services and products that mess with the old way. Is this what we're seeing? I mean, are these companies actually disrupting the healthcare business?
Of disrupt. They have a great possibility of disrupting it. Let me give you just a simple example. A prescription, you know, as the patient, all your experience really is going to the pharmacy and giving them a piece of paper or waiting for your prescription. But when you look at the whole chain of what happens there, the drug is manufactured. It goes to a company called a pharmacy benefits manager, or PBM. They negotiate prices. They help set formularies for insurance companies. Then the manufacturer sends it to a distributor. The distributor sends it to the local delivery to the pharmacy warehouse. The local pharmacy delivers it locally to the pharmacist, and it goes to you. Think about all those steps. Each of those steps are taking maybe a little slice here, a little slice there, a little bit there, but it all adds up. Now, fast forward, and Amazon says to the drug company, you deliver straight to us, we put it on a drone, and we deliver it straight to the house.
Right.
Okay, you cut out a lot of that.
I mean, that's a big. Is that a big part of where the cost is at when it comes to distribution and the idea of having middlemen? Is that a lot where the customer might see a cost?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at healthcare costs. Although pharmacy is down a little bit, it's like the third highest cost after hospital and some other things, but it's still a $375 billion portion of our healthcare business and is increasing because as we age and as we keep people alive and functioning and more active normally during the days, we're treating diabetes, we're treating hypertension longer, we're treating cancer longer, so we're starting to see more medications and more medications for chronic use. That's why, you know, mail order pharmacies are really doing well. Well, Amazon can take it another step and eliminate two other areas in there, which is going to lower costs.
And I think the main question here, Doc, with everybody listening to this, can this bring our premiums down?
Well, you certainly would hope so, right? I mean, I think that these companies are going to prove, because that's what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to not prove we're going to make a company that makes money. We're going to try to make a company that costs us less. So as it costs them less out of pocket, you would think that they would pass the premium on because it's usually based on a percentage. Our cost is this much. We're going to pay 80%. You're going to pay 20%. So you would think that it'll bring premiums down. And look at what Apple has said. Apple is going to open clinics, and they're not saying we are going to have the best health care. They say we are going to have the best experience.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. My question, I'll be the cynic here. The only question is, when you talk about lowering costs or possibly passing that on to premiums, the one thing that seems to be still in question is the quality of that healthcare. I mean, are we in a position where these companies are going to see that because they have the bottom line and they are the ones that want to reduce costs, that they're going to, you know, maybe exclude services or
cut corners
yeah. or do what have you to, they're more interested in their bottom line necessarily over the healthcare of their employees.
Yep. So I think that that is probably one of the biggest concerns. The interesting thing right now is that we're talking about it, and the media is talking about it, and these guys know they are under the microscope. So they, if they start cutting and saying, this is how we did it, boy, this is going to backfire on them. I think what they're trying to do is prove that this healthcare is so siloed and so fragmented that if we can work on this, cut some costs, have a better experience, now they're going to have a product that other companies are going to be coming to them saying, hey, can we jump on this bandwagon? Yeah. And they're going to be looking for partners who embrace technology, opened ways to provide a better service. So this could be very disruptive. This could be kind of a game changer if they can prove that they can do it.
Well, obviously, the conversation continues as more companies get involved in disrupting healthcare, especially for their employees. Dr. Kevin Most joins the Cochrane Show each week. And Dr. Most, great to talk with you, especially about this issue, and thanks for joining us this morning.
You got it. And yeah, you know, Justin, the other thing with Apple, think about everything they're doing with all their Apple apps, the healthcare apps, everything, you know, that they're now, they're going to have this small group of people, not even small, a large group of people that they're going to be able to test all these and prove them before they even put them to market.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just think about what your phone tracks already, right?
Yep.
Dr. Most, thank you.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Take care.
See you, Doc.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, that's a good story. And, of course, we will continue to cover that story and see what that means for the future of healthcare. Much more to do here on the Cochrane Show this morning. Of course, we've got the news coming up with Steve Grzanich and the 7 o'clock hours. We just get started here. The sun coming up here on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Before we get to the news, let's, of course, we got to do the Blackhawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. And since they lost, we keep it short.
And the Ducks win here today, 6-3.
That's the shortest.
That's not the shortest.
Right. We don't want to celebrate it. We just want to bring you the info.
I love it. I love it. All right. More to come. Stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning. Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Grzanich, Sandberg, Joe Romano. Everybody's
here. Got the whole crew.
This morning here on 720 WGN, of course, we got a couple stories to talk about. We're going to be talking Oscars all morning. Dean Richards will be up in the 8 o'clock hour. Nancy O'Dell coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Get some access. Access to Hollywood.
That's right. By the way, Jodie Foster had a ski accident.
She's on entertainment. Oh, she did?
Yeah. I teased that. I forgot to mention that at 6:30. She was in a skiing accident. She and Jennifer Lawrence were saying that Meryl Streep, she got streeped. Or she got Itanya'd by Meryl Streep.
I thought as we talk about the Oscars all morning, it's either that or the Loyola Ramblers. I'm talking about one of those two. What do you think, Dave? I think probably Oscars, right? That more people want to hear about the Oscars than the Ramblers?
I don't know. I think a lot of people want to hear about the Ramblers, but go ahead.
We'll stick with the Oscars for now. But Andre, we were just talking about it. I think it's last year, of course, they had the mix-up with La La Land and Moonlight. And that's I understand the joke and the reference, but that's yesterday's news. They kind of talked about it at the beginning, but they just kept on it all night.
It's so nice seeing you again.
As they say, presenting is lovelier the second time around.
Yeah, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway there. You didn't like that,
I did
huh?
not. No, because I got it right at the top, and I even forgot about it. To be honest with you, I forgot that they had that mix-up. I know that's crazy to think about because it's so superfluous, and who cares?
Right.
But for them, they acted like it was the biggest thing, and everyone cared, and everyone should watch, and every 5 seconds we should remind you that last year was crazy. Wasn't it crazy?
Right.
And I was like, enough. Just get on with this year.
Exactly,
yeah. I did not... We did the family pool for the first time. I have a 10-year-old son, and he really got into it. We did no cards and everything into it. And at the end of the day, I feel bad because he's going to wake up right about now.
And
we laid out the winners and losers because he went to bed right somewhere in the middle. And he did not fare well.
Well, he picked with his heart.
He did. A lot of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm interested about this family poll because when we were talking to the kids last night, they were at their mom's and we interrupted their Oscar viewing in which we were told they all had a poll going on or whatever.
Yeah, right, right.
And they were playing for dinner choice for tonight, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday night. So like,
oh my God, it's a great prize.
Right. So
we usually just do money.
But I didn't know that people did polls. Here, I mocked them a little bit when we hung up with them on
FaceTime. And now
FaceTime.
We're all doing it. Yeah.
And then now Justin's like, oh, we had a poll.
Well, this was the first one. I'm usually more of the heart on the sleeve moment of right before they open the envelope. I'm like, Shape of Water. But we decided this time that we'd write it down. We couldn't change it. And Miles, he did all Star Wars, all movies that he liked.
Sure.
And he did not fare well. I think he had three. He won a couple of the... he did get some Shape of Waters in there.
I think my stepson got the short animated one, the Kobe Bryant, because he picked that because it was basketball, and then he won.
See, the pool, the pools are kind of big because, you know, is it you just do the main categories, or we started, this is the first year I didn't do one, but our family used to do the whole, you pick every category, you get a point for every category, three for supporting.
Oh, that's getting crazy.
Now three for supporting and five for the big ones, because you got to have tiebreakers, you know, you get a... vary up the points.
I just did category to category.
We did every category. We had a ballot that my daughter found, and we printed it out and gave it to everybody.
Yeah.
And then I started out 3-0, and I was like, yeah, okay, this is going to be okay. But then when I woke up this morning and saw that my wife was the only one who got the winning Best Picture.
Well, see, that's where we got down to tied. My wife and I were tied for, and Best Picture, I had Shape of Water, and she had...
Ebbing?
No, she went with Lady Bird. And I right away, I was like, no, that's a terrible choice. When I saw it early, I'm like, that's not going to win. So what I get is I get to choose where we go. I think it's next weekend where we go on Saturday night for dinner. I still got to pay for dinner. But what I want to do, tavern style pizza. Because my family, they're much more deep dish, or they go real specialty. And I want to get us into the tavern, the pub style, the squares, the whole bit. And so... I got to figure out what. Now I'm on the hook. Now I won, so I'm like, we're going. But I'm like, I don't know which one, because it can't be a bad experience. So it's got to be the right experience, because they're not really into that kind of
pizza. You'll do money next
year. Plus, you're not likely to get another choice of where to take them. So this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It really is. So 312-981-7200. Help me out. I got to find the best place. I'm willing to travel. I'll go suburbs, whatever. But
I got a place for you.
Yeah.
South suburbs.
What do you got?
Traversos. They make really good thin crust pizza, and they slice it in squares.
And I do want to make it. I want to go as far as possible, because I want to make this as much of a production as possible.
There you go. I know a place in Northbrook.
All right, that could work.
Again, you'll do money next year.
Yeah.
You ever been to Vito and Nick's on the South Side?
Yeah, I haven't been. That's always on the list.
That's a good one.
I even like their frozen pizza. They sell it at Sunset Foods.
That's a good
one. It's funny because I already teased this out, that this was going to be, and both, as my wife called it, I'm not a big fan of the cracker style pizza.
That's what she said.
They're from Indiana. And that's what I said too. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I like how you said they're from Indiana. You mean your wife and son?
Well, my wife and son. They have Indiana sensibilities.
My son's from Indiana.
I don't know how that happened. So I need to get him into the tavern style, so it's not just a deep dish family from here on out.
Mm-hmm. I think deep dish is more like lasagna anyway, but we don't need to get into a whole pizza discussion.
Oh, we are. The lines are lighting up.
Oh, here we go.
You mentioned we've done Oscars and pizza.
You know, all right. We should
Home Run In is amazing.
I was going to say Home Run In, Lose, and Aurelio slices
Aurelio's,
it in squares,
yep,
too.
I love
if you want it.
All right.
Slice
all right.
It.
Okay. What was your favorite part of the broadcast, Sam?
You know what? I actually liked I thought Jimmy was funny. I did like the, when he followed up the jet ski thing with the stopwatch, saying that when he was saying the lead people in the clubhouse to win it. And then when they added on that you could take it to that...
to Arizona?
Lake, whatever. Yeah.
I thought that soup.
That was really funny. But I like the part where they said whoever introduced that people are doing groundbreaking things, and they had Mira Sorvino and a few people. And I told... We watched things on delay so we could fast forward, and my husband and I could see he was queuing up the fast forward. I said, hey, I want to watch this. And then she comes on the screen and she's talking about, you know, this groundbreaking stuff, and then he's like, what was she in? I'm like, stop talking.
Right.
I'm trying to listen to what they put together. So
That's what that's, I get that a lot that, too. Yeah. I get a lot of stop talking.
He does a lot of commentary over the things I want to hear.
Right. I do. I'm guilty of that too.
Go back.
Yeah, we should rewind.
We should talk about two at some point today because Dave said one of his least favorite, not to throw you under the bus, Dave, but one of his least favorite parts was when Jimmy Kimmel, when he first said, it's a long show, which it was. And then takes the people across the street to the movie. So those bits, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't that bit was my least favorite part.
It's the concept of it.
If you're going to tell everybody that the show's going to be really long and you're timing them and it's going to be really short and you can't really thank everybody you want to thank, but then you're going to take this time out in the middle of it to go across the street, which I'll admit it's entertaining, but it's something that maybe you could do on your show.
Or maybe in a shorter amount of time.
I also had an issue with that because how do you say Wonder Woman's name?
Gal Gadot.
He said Gadot.
Or Gadot.
Right, Gadot.
Yeah.
Isn't a great improviser, so she wasn't, her little quips while they were walking up, she's like, you probably don't know us. And I'm like, what does she say? And then she's like, this is more fun than the Oscars. And I'm like, oh, stop making her talk. Jimmy's better at in a crowd. Right. I thought the guy they pulled up did a great job, though. Mike Young or whatever his name was.
You couldn't hear him because the people in the theater were yelling.
They're getting in the camera space. And I'm like, is anyone even paying attention?
I thought the same thing. I guess because we do this all the time. I thought, all right, have everybody mic'd up so you can hear everybody and they're all making funny jokes. But yeah.
I thought the highlight was Kumail, who was on and in that same piece, Mira Sorvino, where he said, don't do it because of diversity. Don't make these movies because you can get rich.
Right.
Like, finally someone just called it out. Like, I really liked
that. And he also said, he goes, hey, it's okay to watch movies that where you learn something and the people don't look like you and it makes you a little uncomfortable because I've been doing it my whole life and it was like no problem.
I love it.
It was really smart.
All right, let's do this just because the people called in. They went crazy for it when I said, where should I go take my family for pizza? Because I'm such an Oscar predictor. I did such a great job. Joan, where should I take the fam?
Okay, double check with Elliot from Chicago's Best. He was at Apps a Nice Pizza in Romeoville a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Check with him. It's been around for 30 years.
All right,
excellent.
I'll check it out. All right, thanks. All right. Thanks, Joan. Let's go to Jim. Jim, what should I do, Jim?
Hello. Bill's Pizza up in Mundelein, Illinois.
Oh, I love Bill's, and you can squish on the peanuts on the ground. I grew up on
you squish your peanuts on the ground, and they make a double decker.
They
make a double decker pizza, so it's a great compromise between the thin crust and the pan.
Yeah.
I also like their french fries. They're just
I have to ask, what's a double decker?
It's like a crust, cheese, a sauce, and then more crust, a cheese, and a sauce.
Okay.
Is that the place with all the deer heads on the wall?
Yeah, okay. The big bear. It's got, what do you call it, taxidermy?
Yeah, that's all you got. Okay, that's good. I like that. Actually, that's a winner. Let's go to Stan. Stan in Woodridge. What do you think, Stan?
Oh, you're traveling out there. It's a nice place, but Gelasimo's over there in Lamont. Forget that. It's a pizza. That's a nice pizza slice. It's a piece of crap. Forget it.
Listen to Stan.
Thanks, Stan.
Come on. Hey, right. Stan, a.k.a. Mr. Monotone. That's it.
Mr. Monotone.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. All right. Good
to know. Sounds like he knows Chicago pizza.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I'll take those all into consideration. We'll continue to talk about the Oscars. We have a lot to do today here on the Cochran Show. There you go. It is time for the Blackhawks Riddle. We got a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Carolina this Thursday, March 8th. You'll be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. The great people there for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. One pair. Here comes the riddle. Are we ready for this?
Ready. Okay. Ready.
A giant of a man in the round ball, Hall of Fame, came to Chicago when the ABA lost its game. I'm not reading this at all in riddle form. Ready? I'll do it again.
Right? Okay.
A giant of a man in the round ball. Okay, let me see. ABA Chicago.
I got it.
You got it?
Caller.
Can you do it?
I know who it is.
A giant of a man in the round ball Hall of Fame came to Chicago when the ABA lost its game.
There you
got
go.
It.
Yeah.
Too big to drive, so in the lane he would stay. He would take the A train to the stadium to play. There we go. 312-981-7200.
Wait, read it again. No, I'm kidding. I don't think I know who this is.
I got it.
Well, while Joe and Sandberg get the person on the line to see who this is, and Dave knows the answer,
here's what
I got. 309 says, Roots for Quad City Style Pizza, the best pizza of the Midwest.
I've never had that.
That's good. Is that good? Yeah, it's over on in Wicker Park.
Okay.
It's good. Vito and Nick's gets a lot of you. Quonset Pizza in Waukegan. 224 says Slice Pizza in Wakanda. They use real fire ovens.
I've been there. Mm. Yep. They just opened a new place, too, I think, in Highwood.
Couple more. 773s for Bills and Mundelein. Let's see. Village Pizza. We did Village. Danny's, 6021 South Archer. Pizza in Antioch at Anastasia's. Moscato's Pizza in Belvedere. Mm. How about all these? Thanks. These are great. Bianchi's Pizza in Ottawa. That's fun. Pat's Pizza, of course, in Lincoln Park. So good stuff.
I think I've had Pat's, yeah. It's funny you get on the pizza that you like, whether it's Lou's or Home Run or wherever it might be, or Aurelio's, and you kind of just stay with that all the time.
I know. It's amazing, too. I have 847 Joe's Pizza in Wheeling. Kaiser's in Kenosha.
Have you guys ever had Tortorisi's?
Tortorisi's? Where's Tortorisi's?
Well, the one that I go to is in the North Center area off Irving Park Road, but they have them in Arlington Heights and a few other suburbs. Right. They have deep dish pizza with caramelized crust, and the most romantic thing my husband ever said to me was when he was holding this pizza, this is the heaviest pizza I've ever held. It's fantastic.
That's so the most romantic thing your husband ever said to you?
Oh, big, heavy pizza.
I feel better.
Well, you have to be a pizza lover to really appreciate that, but yeah.
Pequod's, right. too, getting
Pequod's,
votes.
Great. Kaiser's in Kenosha, 630 says. Traverso's gets another nod.
Love Traverso's. You should try that.
There's a ton of Bills.
It's far.
I know.
So
I want to try them all,
right?
I will do pizza for the whole rest of 2018.
Yeah.
Lido's Pizza in Countryside. We've got Charlie Fox's in St. Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Nick's Pizza in Crystal Lake. A Countryside Saloon in Des Plaines. Wow.
I can't believe we haven't heard Palermo's, though, either, on the Southwest side.
Oh, yeah. Love Palermo's. Yeah. Another, I got one. This is a good one, too, but this is South Loop. This is close. Flo and Santos makes really good thin crust.
312 says, stop by Salerno's in Hodgkins. My treat.
Now.
We'll start to.
So do you get to pick two now? Because that one's his treat, and then you get a second.
You guys
treat?
Will be checking back in, and I'll be like, "Yeah." So I went to Hodgkins for the freebie. We've got Village Pizza at Marie's on Lawrence. Barnaby's gets a big. I mean, there's a lot of.
Oh yeah, Barnaby's. Yeah. That's good too.
Q's and Hillside. Al's in Warrenville, Giuseppe's in Vernon Hills, Jay's Bricks in Naperville.
You have your 2018 plan.
I know, right? Tony and Marie's in Beloit, Chicago Pizza on Clark Street. All right.
I think we need to turn this into a WGN weekly outing. Try a different pizza place every week.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I think we've got a winner here, but let me reread this, okay? Ready?
Okay,
this is for the Blackhawks tickets for against Carolina on Thursday. A giant of a man in the Round Ball Hall of Fame. Came to Chicago when the ABA lost its game. Too big to drive, so in the lane he would stay. He would take the A train to the stadium to play. All right, we've got Chuck from McHenry. Love McHenry. Chuck, what do we got? What do you think?
I think it's Sardis Gilmore.
All right, Dave Ennett, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Oh,
and he was known as the A-Train.
Yes,
right,
good.
Wow.
All right, there you go. Artis Gilmore. Chuck, congratulations. You got the pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Carolina this Thursday, March 8th. Congrats. Sounds great. Thanks for playing. We appreciate it. All right, there we go. So Artis Gilmore gets the win. We'll take a break here, and then we'll come back and get some news with Andrea and continue the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I've been stuck in motion.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning here on 720 WGN. But the crew is here. Andrea Darlis, Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo is here as well. Steve Rusanich, Sandberg, Joey Romano. We got a lot. Everybody's here. The trains are running on time, unless you're coming in from Joliet. I heard that piece.
Right.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking about how I won my family's Oscar pool, and I have now the responsibility. What I get is I get to choose the restaurant, and I want to choose the best pizza place in the area, and I will travel. And that has just opened the floodgates. the Menza's Pizza on Taylor Street. We've got 847 Neoteca in Barrington. The Foxhole. I know the Foxhole in McHenry for thin crust pizza, 815. So many places. Red's Pizza in Harvard, Illinois. My wife's pizza is the best. That's just somebody saying, okay, well, that's not.
I would add Pat's Pizza. Pat's has pizza, pretty good thin crust.
Donde's in Arlington Heights. Geppetto's in Oak Park. Aurelio's, which, of course, Flo and Santos in the South Loop.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
Well, I'm really craving pizza now.
CC's Pizza in Lockport. I just love seeing all these different towns. San Fratella's in Northwest Indiana. Napoli's in Burlington, Wisconsin. Riverside Pizza in St. Charles. Patsy's in Chicago Heights. I could do this all day.
Boy, these are great. Just makes me think, like, again, you know, you're so used to getting the same pizza over and over again.
It's great, isn't it? It's so fun. It's so fun to... I love it. I could do this... Honestly, we got Lucha Grill in Bloomington.
The only problem is I'm just getting super hungry.
Yeah, right? And that's going to be our problem. Achenlews is what's it? Achenlews? A-C-H?
Hey, Andrea, do you remember Monocle's Pizza?
Oh, my gosh. Remember that, Steve?
And then Champaign Urbana?
Yes, and you get
gosh.
The breadsticks to go and dip in the cheese. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Monocle's.
That's good eating right there.
That was.
Is that the
Steve,
place?
Let's go.
Was that the Gumby sticks or whatever they're called?
No, those were just regular breadsticks, right, Steve?
Yeah, I think they were just regular garlic breadsticks, if I remember right.
Somebody's going to know.
Yeah, and the salad, the most amazing like French style salad dressing too.
Yes, I think they made the salad dressings homemade.
It is. You can actually buy it on Amazon now.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
815 is Halftime Pizza in Johnsburg. Love Johnsburg. Haven't been to Johnsburg in years.
No.
I grew up in Wonder Lake, Illinois, which is right next to Johnsburg. Joe's Italian Villa in Palos Heights. Okay. We've got Chesden's in Homer Glen. Pappy's Pizza in Glenview. Slice, they don't say where that's from, but
that's Slice is Wakanda.
Okay.
And they also opened one in Highwood.
All right, there you go. Giuseppe's in Cherville. Papa's Pizza in Woodridge. Forno Rosso over on the in the West Loop. Pop's Pizza in Naperville. Uncle Lair's in Plano. Come on, Roger. Romano's Pizza in Nakusa, Wisconsin. Vince's Pizzeria in Niles. Cottage Pizza in Wooddale. This is the best. Nino's in Buffalo Grove. Consett in Waukegan. We did that one. Joe's Fox.
You got options for like a whole month.
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. You got to be kidding. John's Pizza on Western. Jug's Main Street Tap in Elizabeth. And they said, Steve, you're thinking of Pokey Sticks. Or this
That's
Dave.
What it is.
Pokey Sticks at Eastern.
See, Gumby wasn't Pokey. Yeah. Gumby's companion.
This is amazing, you guys. I'm
friend.
Right?
Blown away by all these places, man. That's amazing. Thank you, Steve Cochran Show listener, for that. 312-981-7200. I had the good fortune yesterday of moderating a debate between the candidates for the Attorney General on the Democrat side.
Boy,
eight of them.
I'm fascinated by this race.
Yeah, so the Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, of course, announced she is not running. So eight Democrats have stepped up. On the Democrats, or on the Republican side, there are two candidates.
Right.
There are eight on the, and at Cards Against Humanity, which is a great game, and also the space up on Elston. That's where they did it, and it was co-sponsored by the Chicago Sun-Times. And, there was eight. I learned a lot about the race. It seems to be all about public corruption, but what I really took away, and this was brought up, is that there's a lot of consternation, question about who's taking money from who.
Right,
that's a big issue in that race because the front runners are open for business, meaning there's tobacco companies, energy companies, other places where I think one of the candidates, I can't remember who it was, said we're going to be in a situation where the Attorney General is going to recuse themselves on every time they have to go in the courtroom.
Think about that. I mean, that's crazy in itself. What I find so interesting is there's not one clear front runner. You know, and any given week, you can say, oh, Kwame Raoul or Pat Quinn or Jesse Ruiz or whoever, you know, is the front runner of the week, per se. But you and I were talking about this too, Justin. There has to be some sort of division, and the conflict of interest in the state has to be addressed, not just Mike Madigan, but anybody who's a lawmaker and doing some sort of business, whether it's their full-time job or their part-time job, with the city or the state, that has to be addressed.
I guess the question in this situation is if you're a politician, you're getting money from somewhere.
Sure.
Just the way that campaign financing is. So if you're getting a money from, I mean, I guess this is politics in 2018. That every, I mean, if you really were in a situation where we followed, you know, how you're supposed to work in the fact that you're supposed to recuse yourself on issues that, that you have some interest in, everybody would recuse themselves at all times because
absolutely.
There's so much money in these campaigns. But to be attorney general, to be the top law enforcement agent, to be the top lawyer in the state of Illinois, it's a little different because you have to go argue maybe against these companies that are giving you money,
sure.
lobbying for you in a courtroom. And I can understand why there's this push to say you would, we would hope from citizens, you would hope that people would recuse themselves if they were actually getting money from some of these companies.
You would almost hope or wish that someday the attorney general would not be a partisan, would not be a political
right.
election.
Because
you know?
they made a big deal in the debate saying that the governor, Governor Rauner, said that he's going to give, if Erica Harold on the Republican side gets the nomination, that he is going to bankroll that campaign. He's going to put $10 million
yeah.
in. And I think it was Kwame Raoul who brought up the this concept that there shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
They should
there
be
should
different.
Not
be. They should be independent offices because you don't want the. Because we kind of saw that a little bit with the attorney general now.
Right.
You know, a lot of with the unbalanced budget and what we saw in the last 3 years down in Springfield, you wanted an attorney general to jump in and say, this can't happen, argue for the fact that maybe law, maybe state employees can't get paid, make it like a government shutdown.
Of course, yeah.
So people make the decision to fix the problem, any sort of stalemate in shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, the conflict of interest, though, has to be addressed. I heard we have this campaign, Make America Vote Again, you know, MAVA. We're trying yeah. to get educate as many people yeah. as we can and just let them know, hey, register to vote. Vote. It is so important to vote. And I heard two people say this weekend, I know two people who early voted and said, I wish in Illinois we didn't have to declare for the primary. Because, you know, people want to vote for everybody.
Right.
They want to vote for an Erica Harold or a Kwame yeah. Raoul or a Pat Quinn or whoever it might be, but don't want to have to declare because then that's a whole nother segment that you're being denied voting for.
The panel of the questions were asked by Mary Mitchell and Tina Svondelis from the Sun-Times. My job was just to keep it moving. And here's what, here, if you've ever get in an opportunity where you get to moderate a debate with eight candidates, you start, and every one of them has to answer the same question. You can't have favoritism. You can't say, I'm only going to ask Pat Quinn or I'm only
sure.
going to ask Kwame Raoul. It doesn't work that way. So you have to start right away. It's a huge table. And someone would say, what are you going to do about public corruption? And I'd say, let's start at the end with Scott Drury. And then, you know, and then you right. go all the way through to the end. And then the next question, I'm like, well, I can't do that again.
Yeah.
I can't be like, let's start with Scott Drury. Let's start on this end with Jesse Ruiz. So I started to have in my head like little math games about what the pattern would be.
Sure.
So I'd be like, you know what? Let's shake it up. Let's start with Kwame Raoul. And then I'd had to remind myself, I'm like, because the biggest fear is the moderators. I'd say Kwame Raoul. And I'm like, I already asked that question.
Oh, you know? Right. Like, or you already started
already
with him.
Started,
yeah, exactly.
So I feel like I did a good job of, because a couple people from the audience came up afterwards and were like, I was trying to follow your logic on how you were,
right?
Because I was doing patterns, like I'd jump somebody and then jump back and move around. I was trying to spice it up. So,
and you did, you had some good sports questions.
I did. Too. Dave, this is a great question. You'll love this. This is the final question I asked in this debate. Again, my job was to be lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the final lightning round question to all eight candidates who are the Democrats running for attorney general. 85 Bears or 96 Bulls?
Wow.
Ooh.
Right? It's a good one. They took
it's a
they,
good one to
it was a, it was a, it was a split decision. I think it was 4-4.
Really?
Yeah. Pat Quinn actually said 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, 98. I'm like, all right, you're getting cute.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
not, it's too cute.
Anyone jump in with the 05 Sox or the,
no,
or
no,
the
no,
2016
no.
Cubs?
No, nobody mentioned
no?
those guys. No baseball. But what it really was.
Or the Blackhawks, by the way.
All I wanted them to do, and they did it towards yeah. the end, was Bears.
Bears.
Bulls.
Yeah.
Bulls.
They did
Bears.
It?
Yeah, they just, they, by the
that
end, it, at the beginning, you had the candidates go, I think I'll take the 85 Chicago Bears. But by the end, Bears. Bulls. Bulls. Bears. So I accomplished something.
Good.
Right, right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve today. Steve's back later in the week. Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Grzanich, Joe Romano, Sandberg. Everybody's here. All right, so the Loyola Ramblers going to the NCAA tournament, the only team from Illinois, and the first time that the Loyola Ramblers have been to this tournament since 1985. Dave Ennett, special day. I have to say, as much as last year I was so excited about the Cats, about the Northwestern Wildcats, of course, and this year as well, of course, since we are broadcast partners. But, you know, to see a team, a mid-major, a true mid-major from mm-hmm. Chicago get back to the tournament, there's something great. There's something great about the fact that I was checking in on the game. I was actually excited looking at the CBS app and trying to find out what's happening with Loyola while there was I was moderating a debate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that, Justin, but no, I mean, I watched it, and you know, it is a cool thing. I mean, that's the only program in the state of Illinois to win a national championship.
Yeah,
to win
the NCAA
tournament.
That's right. Yeah.
And they were there. I went and covered them in 1985 when they played in Providence, Rhode Island against Georgetown in the Sweet 16. And they lost to that Georgetown team. That Georgetown team ended up losing in the finals after winning the year before over Houston.
Wow.
So, I mean, they've got great history, that program. And it's a couple of years ago, They were really down and out, and to see where they've gotten.
That's amazing.
They've made steady progress, and it's great to see. And it's, look, I'm a believer that it's great for the sport to have any of these programs doing well. UIC had it going for a while this year.
Right.
Northwestern ended up with a tough year, below their expectations, no question, but I think they'll bounce back next year. Illinois was going through the first year with a new coach. I think they'll be okay down the stretch, but it's good when you have a program. It generates interest in the game, and I think it helps elevate all of the programs
in
town.
I want to talk, and we'll do that coming up here. Mm-hmm. But of course, you were at Madison Square Garden for the Big Ten tournament this weekend. I have so many questions about that. We got to get to the news. We'll do that. We'll take a break. We'll get to the news with Steve Grisanich, and then we will come back. The 8 o'clock hour. Dean Richards coming up. We're going to have more Oscar talk here on the program. It's the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more.
It's Steve Cochran Show. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Grisanich, Joe Romano, Sandberg, and of course Dean Richards. Dean Richards.
You mentioned everybody.
I know. Do you see what I do there? I like to let everyone in on the.
Usually you have to wait till the end of the show to get all the credits. You give it right
at the beginning,
right up front.
I just change it up. Dean Richards, of course.
Things go bad. Justin wants you to know whose fault it is.
That's right. That's right.
I don't blame him.
Dean, this is a big morning for you. You got the double. You're all over media as we analyze the 90th annual Academy Awards.
Because you can never overanalyze an award show.
Let's get into it right away. I mean, what's your takeaway? What's your general takeaway on the award ceremony last night, and of course the takeaways?
General takeaway is I think it was fairly predictable. Now, I had picked Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri to be Best Picture. I said that I thought it was going to be Shape of Water or Three Billboards, depending on how, you know, the Oscars were moving over the last couple of days. But the shift was clearly toward the Shape of Water. It won 4 Academy Awards last night, Best Picture, Best Director for Guillermo del Toro. Won Best Production Design. It won Best Original Score. Three Billboards only took 2 awards last night.
Big ones, though.
So, they were huge ones. They were, you know, Best Actress for Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell winning for Best Supporting Actor, both very much predicted. I felt in talking to people in Hollywood, and the sense that I was getting that Hollywood and the Academy voters were leaning toward Three Billboards. It's really hard to predict some of the categories these days because of the changing nature of the voting body. It used to be nothing but old white men that picked the Oscars, you know, so it was a little easier to predict their taste. Now it's much more, the gender has changed quite a bit. The diversity, ethnic and racial diversity of the voting body has changed quite a bit over the past couple of years. There's a greater international body that's voting with it all. So Oscar, in my gut, I should have stuck with my gut. In my gut, I felt like I wanted Shape of Water to win, but I felt, looking at all the factors, I felt like it was going someplace else. So I blew the big one of the night. But I did did pretty well with all my other predictions. And I don't think that I'm that great of a genius with it. I just think it was a kind of predictable night. It was pretty easy to see what was going on. Jordan Peele winning Best Original Screenplay was great. First African American ever to win that category.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. I would have thought that, because I think about a lot of times when the young guys and African Americans are up for the Best Picture, they it always feels like the Oscars are like, well, we're not going to give you that, but we'll give you a screenplay or adapted screenplay,
right,
something
right.
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not original screenplay. I mean, it was rather remarkable. Jordan Peele, it's very significant. I mean, he won this award, but there hasn't been anybody who has been nominated for Best Screenplay, Best Director, Best Picture. His movie had a Best Actor nomination. First movie. It was his first movie.
Yeah.
And he scored, you know, all the way around here. So I think we're going to see huge things coming from Jordan Peele. So that was significant. James Ivory winning Best Adapted Screenplay for Call Me By Your Name. He becomes the oldest person ever to win an Academy Award at 89 years of age, which I was also always surprised by that as well. I thought that we had some other, you know, senior winners through the years.
I think, Dean, what I like the best, I like how they continued with the powerhouse presenters. I think this is my first year where I really enjoyed all the presenters, Jodie Foster, Jennifer Lawrence, Jane Fonda, and Helen Mirren, Sandra Bullock. I like when they were pairing up, you know, these powerful women to come out and give these awards out. I like the 90 years of Oscar. I like the montages, but I just thought Kimmel kind of dragged it out a little bit. It was kind of cute when they went to the theater next door. We were talking about this a little earlier, but oh my gosh, you know, then don't, as Dave said, don't give a speech and say, hey, this is a really long show, and then we're going to go next door, you know, for a movie theater bit.
Yeah, well, I think it's a really long show was just a vehicle to do the we're going to give away a free jet ski joke and do that joke all night long.
Right.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel actually was, you know, really was kind of discreet with this time and, you know, didn't get in the way and didn't drag it down. You know, there may have been other moments, but you know what? It's the Academy Awards. What I'm really glad is that we barely heard music playing people off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they let people talk. They let people finish their thoughts,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really nice. Overall, I liked the composition of the show. Yeah, I was overall very, very pleased. And I thought, you know, sometimes the acceptance speeches can be kind of goofy. We have a little montage here of the four top acting winners, Frances McDormand, Allison Janney, Sam Rockwell, and Gary Oldman. Here's a little of what they had to say last night.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will. Come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers.
I did it all by myself.
When I was 8 years old, I was called into the principal's office, and my father was looking very solemn, and he said, we got to go. It's Grandma. And we got in the car, and I said, what's wrong with Grandma? And he said, nothing. We're going to the movies. My mom and dad's love of movies became my love of movies, so thank you for that, Mom and Dad. I love you.
I would like to thank my mother, who is older than the Oscar. She is 99 years young, next birthday. And she's watching the ceremony from the comfort of her sofa. I say to my mother, thank you for your love and support. Put the kettle on. I'm bringing Oscar home.
Nice. Very,
it's good stuff.
He's bringing Oscar home.
Yeah, he's bringing Oscar
Guillermo
home.
Guillermo del Toro choked up as he quoted Jimmy Cagney as George M. Cohan in the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy when he said, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my brother and sister thank you. He did the traditional Cohan thank you. Choking up, getting very emotional during the whole thing. I thought his speeches were great, and I'm so happy to see him win Best Director. I've been a Del Toro fan forever. Can't believe he has never won an Oscar before.
True.
So I'm really happy that he won.
Dean Richards here on the Steve Cochran Show, as he is every day. All right, let's take a quick break so I can get some spots in here quick, and then come back, and we'll continue our conversation about the Oscars with Dean.
You'll be calling his name.
Dean Richards on the line. We're talking about the Oscars, of course, last night. Big event at Shape of Water. Took home four Oscars. Chicago fared, I guess, if Jordan Peele lived here for a little while. He did improv at
Second City.
In Second City, place like that. But
not really.
Not really. That's how I met him.
Until you're a waiter when you're at Second City, like Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, you got to be a waiter here. And I don't think he ever was.
Steve James, Abacus, he lost documentary filmmaker who, he didn't get he's been snubbed his entire career. Finally got a nomination, but he lost. And Laurie Metcalf, of course, as well. Did not get the nod for her job in Lady Bird.
Happy to see Kobe Bryant as an Oscar winner.
Yeah, right. Which I kind of felt was kind of, I don't know, it's an Hollywood voters live in L.A. They all like Kobe Bryant because he was on the Lakers. I mean, it just seems like when we talk about the Oscar, who's actually voting for this stuff, I feel like that was...
Well, not the Clippers fans, except when Kobe was playing, the Clippers weren't what they later became. So.
Right.
I think that may be part of it is, they wanted to invite him to the party.
Right.
But it also was, he won for best animated short film. He had written some poems about ending his basketball career, and they made it into this movie called Dear Basketball, which it was actually very good. So it's not like it was a terrible movie, and it won because of Kobe Bryant's name. But the thing for me on that was, is how genuinely giddy Kobe Bryant was afterwards. He said that it was bigger than winning an NBA championship for him.
Wow.
He was more excited about accomplishing this goal of winning an Academy Award.
That's amazing to think about. Very non-political. I was surprised. I mean, there was a lot that had to do with Me Too and Time's Up and of course, gender issues in Hollywood. But political issues, of course, the president, we saw in past Oscars much more about the political issues of their time. But it was very subdued in that regard.
I thought so, too. Fox News would disagree with both of us. They're trashing the show this morning, saying how unbelievably political it was and how unbelievably anti-Republican and anti-conservative. And I didn't get that take from it. There were some Donald Trump jokes. There were a couple of references to the kids in Florida who were, leading the anti-gun movement there. But it was not overwhelmingly political like a lot of the shows are. If there was a serious note to the show, it was about female empowerment. It was about Me Too. It was about Time's Up. Frances McDormand, as we heard in the clip, made very clear that she thinks that female empowerment needs to be much more upfront in future movies that are made. There was one set of speakers, Ashley Judd, Salma Hayek, and Annabella Ciora, who were among the three of the 60 women who were who claimed to have been harassed by Harvey Weinstein, and they spoke about that, and it all seemed very, very appropriate. Some people on Facebook last night were saying, we don't want to hear any political, we don't want to hear billionaires preaching to us about, these kind of political issues. And, well, equality is not a political issue. Equality is that everyone should be treated fairly. Raise your hand if you disagree with that.
Right, totally agree.
If you think that somebody else should be treated differently than you, it's a basic human issue.
Right.
And there is no better place to talk about it than the Oscars in this industry that has been racked with this cancer this year,
right?
That hopefully will stop spreading at the rate that it obviously has been.
For the
very
broadcast,
well said, by the
very
way,
well
Dean.
Said. But for the broadcast,
I should give an Academy Award for that speech.
Do, 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 da, da,
a lot of jokes.
Did I win
about,
the jet ski?
You get the jet ski. A lot of jokes, of course, about the opulent set, but also as a comedy show. I mean, this always the Oscars will show up in the Emmys for variety show and comedy. How did this one play out as opposed to some of the ones in the past?
Well, you know, the attempts at comedy sometimes can be awful. Let me say the Star Wars presenters love Mark Hamill, love the Star Wars people. That was a huge big bomb of those guys trying to be funny. On the other hand, Jodie Foster comes out on crutches with Jennifer Lawrence. They were hilarious. Also hilarious and maybe stealing the show last night, Maya Rudolph and Tiffany Haddish, who
so
were
good.
A riot.
Hilarious.
Take a little listen to all of them.
What happened to you?
Streep.
Yeah. She eye-tinied me. But, you know, I prefer not to discuss it.
No, it's cool. You know, she tripped me once.
But we're going to not talk about that. We're going to get on with it, aren't we?
Legal reasons. I get it.
Yeah.
She's always so nice at the luncheon.
When she's acting.
Ah.
Tiffany, can I just say, when you peed off a zip line in Girls Trip, it was brilliant.
Oh, my God, Maya. Mm. When you took a dookie in the street in Bridesmaid, it changed my life. It was inspiring.
That was awesome. Stupid. Totally agree. Two of the greatest moments
so
of the night.
Stupid.
You're so stupid.
Tiffany Haddish, they're saying Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph should
do something
host this in the future.
Well, the Oscars are a wrap. Dean Richards, who joins us daily here on the Steve Cochran Show. Of
and
course,
will be filling in on...
On Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, is that what I'm...
I think that's what they have you down for.
I can't wait.
We'll see you Wednesday, Dean.
Dean, you want to call up and do entertainment that day?
There you go. We'll flip it up. Great stuff from Dean Richards. As always, Dean, thanks for joining us.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
All right, soon. All right, coming up, we'll continue with the Steve Cochran Show here. We're going to talk about Expanding Your Horizons, a great group that has a big conference coming up here in March at the University of Chicago. That's coming up, as well as Nancy O'Dell. We'll continue Oscars talk here on the Steve Cochran Show, so stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran today. Here's 720 WGN, but don't worry, Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Joe Romano, Sandberg, Steve Grzanich.
We're all here.
Jen DeSalvo. We're all here. So everyone, you're in good hands. My job's just to keep the trains moving on time.
There you go.
Which we heard for some of the traffic has been an issue this
year. Yeah, a little bit, but that has nothing to do with you.
It has nothing to do with me. Well,
it's all good.
I wish it could. I wish I could help in that regard. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk with Nancy O'Dell from Entertainment Tonight. We'll talk about the Oscars last night. What's the takeaway from the Oscar broadcast? We didn't even really get a chance to talk any fashion with Dean Richards. I was hoping that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, and we'll Tiffany Haddish had the wore her white dress, the same white dress that she wore on Saturday Night Live. If you saw that in the monologue, she did a whole monologue about her white dress on SNL, where she talked about, I bought this one dress, I'm going to wear it everywhere. And she wore it at the Oscars last night on stage. I just find that to be so heartwarming. There's something about it. I was really, really
it was good.
Happy to see that. So.
And who was it? Was it Rita Moreno wore the same dress she wore how many years ago?
Yeah, right.
West Side Story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
All right. So before we get to more Oscar talk, let's talk about STEM. I think that's a good transition to talking about some of the gender issues in Hollywood. And we'll talk about what's being done here in the state of Illinois when it comes to education. And, of course, getting girls more involved in STEM, science, math, technology. In studio are some representatives from Expanding Your Horizons Chicago. Of course, they have their big conference, which is coming up March 24th at the University of Chicago. Susan Levison is the graduate program administrator at the University of Chicago, and she is here in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Deidre Reitz is a PhD candidate, as well as Kay Supriya is also a PhD candidate at the University of Chicago, both in studio as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so let's get into this. This is great. I mean, we've heard so much about STEM in Chicago and in the state of Illinois. Talk about Expanding Horizons and the event that's coming up here on the 24th.
So we're really excited about this year's event. We have two wonderful keynote speakers lined up. We have Carlos Murray, who works at Abbott, and she has been named Black Engineer Magazine Scientist of the Year.
I had her on my show. She's great. We sat down for an hour. Yeah,
we're super excited to have her. And our other keynote speaker for this year is Enid Montagu, who is an associate professor in DePaul University, and she looks at human health and technology interactions. So that's really cool. And then we have a wonderful lineup of 24 workshops that the girls can attend. And these will be hands-on workshops that are led by women in STEM. And we're looking for students to join us.
And these are students you're looking for Expander Youth. You're talking about students 6th to 8th grade.
6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And girls who have an interest or show an interest in science, tech, math, things like that.
Yeah. So we're looking for girls that go to Chicago Public Schools in middle school. We're also welcome participation from girls in suburbs of Chicago that are in public schools, or they are from low-income families. Also, students from charter school are more than welcome. And it's really just about getting them more excited about STEM, empowering them to pursue a career in STEM, showing them these role models, these amazing women professionals in STEM, you know, just providing a nurturing atmosphere.
STEM is such a great program. We did a story a few weeks ago at a go-kart facility, the Accelerated Indoor Speedway in Mokena, and they said, we are heavily involved with the STEM program. They do field trips out there. The students come out, they can race go-karts and learn how the go-karts race. So to your point of making it fun, I mean, what's more fun than that, than doing kind of a funny activity and learning how a go-kart moves or how it's fueled, you know, and it's all eco-friendly too.
Yeah, and we have so many interesting workshops lined up. There's one workshop that talks about measuring light through chocolate. There's another workshop on just like where they get to make candy and learn about like the different compounds that go into it. And there are some other workshops where they extract DNA from bananas.
Oh my God, how cool is that?
Come.
How do you, okay, wait, now how would, I know you probably can't go into too specific, but how do you measure light through chocolate?
I'm not a particle physicist. Okay. I'm not a good person to answer that.
You can answer it anyway, and I'd probably believe you. So that's really cool.
It's a workshop that some scientists from the Fermilab are running for us. And this is the first time they're running this workshop. So I will see what they do, and I will learn from them, and
that's
then give
cool.
you a better answer.
Hey, you know what? That's perfect.
Susan, let me bring you in here, because you know, we've done a lot. And it's amazing in Chicago and the state of Illinois, because STEM has become more and more recognizable when it comes to trying to get girls, young girls, involved. And are we seeing a sea change? Are we seeing more people gravitating towards STEM who you know, when it comes to the young girls who are in this state and going to school?
Well, yes, I can say that when we just did our recruitment at the University of Chicago for our PhD program, and we had quite a large number of women who are applying to our PhD program, and most of them are right out of college trying to get into a PhD program in the sciences. So, yes, I mean, we have a lot of females who are coming into sciences.
Let me ask you guys both, as PhD candidates, when you were at the age of six, when you're in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, was it when STEM was brought to your attention, was it this kind of thing where people were trying to do outreach and say, hey, you should get into science, tech, and math? Or was it something that you found yourself gravitating to without outreach and people trying to pull you into that area?
Well, I actually had a great experience at the Chicago Botanic Garden. I was able to work in their genetics facility, and that's really what motivated me to pursue my PhD. And this is very consistent with the experiences of a lot of women. There's a recent research survey conducted at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, where they found that girls who participated in informal STEM education programs, similar to what I did at the Chicago Botanic Garden, were more likely to pursue careers in STEM. So that's what we're really trying to do with this program, is to give girls informal experience to help them build confidence in science and math that they might not get in school.
Right.
Do you have to apply? I'm just curious. Do you have to apply to be a part of STEM? Because somebody hearing this might think, this is exactly what I want to do, but maybe they don't know how to take the steps to achieve it.
For the conference that we are organizing, yes. But it's not, you just have to register. It's not okay. A selective application. And we do have a small registration fee, which is $5. But there are plenty of scholarships available. And if any student is not cannot afford the $5, they can request a scholarship. But
that's awesome.
In our program, we also have a program at the same time for parents where we tell them about the various career options available in STEM. We tell them about the various resources available in the city of Chicago that they can access for the students. And we also have lots of other things about college preparedness, high school applications, and stuff like that to give them the information that they can use to support their child.
And it's free for the parents.
And that's probably really important because I think parents, especially 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, are going to be interested in what these conferences can do for having their kids understand a little bit more about career paths and professions and what they might be able to get into.
Yes, it's on March 24th, and it's going to be at the University of Chicago on campus, and it's from 9 to 2 o'clock. There's still plenty of time for the parents to register.
If I can ask before we let you guys go, just about the PhD candidacy. We could spend hours on this topic because it is interesting for you to get your doctorate to get a PhD. You have to go through a lot of I don't want to say screening, but just there's a lot that goes into being candidates and getting that opportunity to pursue your PhD. If you can just in a quick way explain that process so we better understand people who aren't necessarily going for their doctorate degree, how it works to get your PhD.
So I think a lot of people confuse PhD with studying, but PhD is really a lot about doing your research. So as PhD students, we do have to take courses the first couple of years before we become candidates.
Right.
So essentially the process before becoming candidates is, it can vary between programs, but mostly here in the U.S., it's taking the required courses and coming up with a research project and defending it. So coming up
with
an idea.
That's the big issue, defending it, right?
Yeah.
It's like your thesis. What, Deidre?
Like Supriya said, you take classes and then you decide which lab you want to work in, and you end up joining a lab and pursuing research in that lab. It's been a great experience for me, and we'd love to have more women be a part of the program.
The IQ of the room just soared. You realize that, right?
The IQ of the room has never been higher.
Well, Susan Levinson is the graduate program administrator at the University of Chicago. She's also a board member for Expanding Your Horizons Chicago. Deidre Wrights is a PhD candidate in the Committee of Genetics, Genomics and Systems Biology at the University of Chicago.
That was Justin's question.
Come on, Justin. We knew that.
Kay Supriya is a PhD candidate at the University of Chicago, who studies interactions between birds and ants at low and mid elevations in eastern Himalayas. The event is on March 24th. It's a conference for Expand Your Horizons for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade girls. You could check it out at the Expand Your Horizons Chicago website. You guys, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about the conference. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
910 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. Andre Darlis, of course, here. Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, Jen DeSalvo, Sandberg, Joe Romano. So everybody's here. I'm just keeping the seat warm till Steve comes back on Friday. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about International Women's Day a little bit later in the hour. But right now, let's go to Nancy O'Dell from Entertainment Tonight, who joins us on the line to talk about the Oscars, of course, the 90th Annual Academy Awards wrapped up. And Nancy joins us to talk about all the storylines that are happening this morning. Nancy, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So, obviously, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to who won awards, but we've been talking about it all morning. we haven't yet had a chance to talk about fashion. And I feel like this is a year in which we saw a lot of interesting trends, but also some throwbacks. And we were just talking about Rita Moreno wearing her old dress and, of course, Tiffany Haddish on stage wearing that white dress that she made famous from Saturday Night Live.
I know. I love Tiffany Haddish. I say I go with all, everything happening on social media. I'm like, I would love to see Tiffany and Maya host the next Oscars because she is hilarious. I mean, from everything of wearing that dress and like climbing over the velvet rope to go meet Meryl Streep, she just stands right in front of her. And then she's just so funny. Like even talking to us on the red carpet, just you'll get the giggles if you watch her tonight on ET.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
What were the trends? I mean, when we talk about being on the red carpet, you looked fantastic. It's, what were the trends for the fashion on the red carpet this year?
I thought, you know, everybody went really classy. I thought that there weren't any, like, horrible fashion mistakes. My favorite was Zendaya, who was in Gian Battista Valli. Saoirse Ronan, I thought, looked gorgeous in her pink Calvin Klein. Meryl Streep in her beautiful red Christian Dior dress. Lupita Nyong'o, Nicole Kidman, Emma Stone, Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, my gosh, and that gold Dior was fantastic. I thought it was just beautiful. So I've yet to pick some trends. I would say that there were a lot of metallic colors. That was kind of the trend. And just classy, beautiful dresses.
Loved the pantsuits. Loved the pantsuits, too. The Emma Stone, the Jodie Foster. But I love Sandra Bullock as well. Leslie Mann. Didn't you see a lot of the men, too, in velvet suits, Nancy? I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Armie Hammer in that red velvet jacket.
Yeah, and then the McConaughey with the velvet bow tie. That was cool.
I know, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? He always wears a different kind of fashion outfit. And we do talk about men. We'll have a full, you know, the entire show tonight is Oscars. So you'll have the full Oscar wrap-up, and then we'll show you all the fashion, give you all the reaction after. So we'll be talking to everybody. One of my favorites, though, Rita Moreno, still wearing the dress that she wore 56 years ago. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I was teasing her on the red carpet. I'm like, how in the world do you fit in a dress you wore 56 years ago? She goes, I didn't. And she turned around, and it was slit down the back of the middle, and they had done a tie on it to make it a corset and
that's
make it
cool.
fit worse. But it was like a half an inch. I'm like, that's still not fair.
Yeah. Nancy, a lot was made about the red carpet last night. And I wonder, because at the time, Twitter was kind of a buzz about whether or not celebrities were avoiding certain people and possibly getting more savvy to the way that the red carpet works, only showing up for the ABC broadcast that's right before the Oscars telecast. Talk about that. I mean, did you notice that celebrities were approaching the red carpet in any different way?
Yeah, I didn't notice that it was different. You know, it seemed like everybody was doing the same interviews that we've always done where they come on the red carpet, but I could, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's like, it was just, I think that celebrities, the only thing that is a little bit different for the award ceremonies now, as far as being an interviewer myself, a lot of the celebrities, because there is such a venue via social media, you know, they will do what they want to do on social media. So a lot of them, you know, don't stop for as long, or, you know, they may say what they want to say on social media. But we have ways of finding them and talking to them because, you know, we're at all the parties after, so they're all at the Vanity Fair party or the Oscars, you know, the Governor's Ball. So we talked to them, including we talked to Mark Bridges, who, how great was the whole jet ski bit? Wasn't that fun?
It was fun. Who ended up winning?
It was
Mark Bridges?
And the funny thing is that we talked to him after we found him at the party. So, you know, they're going to give away the jet ski for the shortest speech. So he said they won it by accident, that he actually had more to say, but he paused because he couldn't remember a sentence. And so he paused, and then he got the award for the shortest speech, along with Helen Mirren.
Well, there's going to be a lot of this on entertainment tonight. Nancy O'Dell joining us here on the Steve Cochran Show. I'm interested because we've done a lot about the telecast, but the after party, you just mentioned the Vanity Fair party and other places. How was the mood and the festivities with the after party, especially with Hollywood going through everything it's going through right now with the Me Too and the Time's Up movement? Was it business as usual when it came to parties after the Oscars?
It did. I mean, every time you see somebody at a party, they're always, especially if they've won or the cast has won or the, you know, production designers won, everybody is excited to be there at the party. And I felt like the Oscars, it hit the right tone. I think a lot of what people had wanted to say politically have been said at the other award ceremonies, just because the Oscars is the last award ceremony to take place during the season. So a lot of them had already said things that they wanted to say. But I think also the whole fact that there is this movement and that people are sticking up and that, you know, they are banding together for inclusion of everybody, that it makes for a more festive atmosphere. So the parties are actually seem to be more happy, for lack of a better word.
I love the Frances McDormand speech, too. I thought that was fantastic. And the women coming out, you know, Mira Sorvino and Annabelle Sciorra. I liked that. I appreciated that, you know, when they came out together.
Yeah, I did, too. And then Frances McDormand, bless her heart, you know, after she did this great thing and have all the women standing up, then reportedly lost her Oscar at the governor's ball party after.
Did she really?
Somebody walked away with it.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
So we're following up on that tonight. I won't give away the ending to the story of whether she ever found it or not. It's supposedly somebody walked away with it at the governor's ball, but we will have the ending for you tonight.
That's great.
You know, Nancy, I would think that happens. I would think that happens more than we know, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't
you think about it? Because they're so heavy, so it's not like they can carry it around. They probably have, you know, a drink in the other hand, so they can't carry it around, you know.
Are they heavy, Nancy? I mean, obviously you've held them. What are they, like a 5-pound weight, 10-pound weight?
Very heavy.
Like a dumbbell?
Probably at least 5 pounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very heavy. All of the awards. Yeah. I mean, they're insanely heavy. They need to do that, but nobody really wants a plastic Oscar, do they?
Yeah, right. Nancy, you make a living, of course, covering Hollywood and entertainment, of course, that comes out of Los Angeles. There was a lot last night about inclusion and moving forward and attempting to get past Me Too and Time's Up and see a more equitable Hollywood. Do you think that that's going to happen? Do you think that it's all lip service at the Oscars? Or do you think that something is happening in Hollywood where they are moving forward in a positive direction?
Oh, 100% moving forward. I think we've already seen it happen as far as who got nominated and who was winning. You know, before, a lot of times, movies that would be excluded is not voted on. And so this year, we're seeing those great movies included and nominated. And not for the reason that, you know, they do include women or they do include the first cast, but just because they're great movies and they're not being overlooked. And I think that we're seeing that. And the power, I think that the biggest thing is I tell somebody, by everybody banding together and talking about all this and making it such a big subject, nobody can ignore it anymore, meaning that it can't be brushed under the rug. So people are going to call you on it now because they feel brave enough because everybody's speaking out on it. So I think for that reason, yeah, we're definitely moving forward and seeing some change. Does that mean it's going to all resolve this year and, you know, nothing's going to have to be fixed later?
Right.
No. You know, we know that it will constantly have to. It's just going to be look at how things have changed from 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's just the best.
Well, it's a must-watch entertainment tonight. Tonight, of course, as they wrap up the Oscars and all the parties and everything that happened yesterday in Hollywood. Nancy O'Dell, of course, the host at Entertainment Tonight. Nancy, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Great to talk to you. All Oscars tonight.
All Oscars tonight. All right. That's, of course, Nancy O'Dell.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you're like me, Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. You won your Oscar pool last night. I beat the family 9-8.
How many people were in your pool?
There were three.
Okay, three.
Me, my wife, and my son. And my son had a poor showing. 10-year-old. He had a poor showing.
He went with his heart.
He went with his heart. A lot of Star Wars. Yeah. A lot of Star Wars nominations that did not come to fruition. But so the wager was the person who wins gets to pick the restaurant the next time we go out, which will be next weekend. So I've been talking all morning about that I want to pick a tavern-style pizza place, and there have been tremendous response from the listeners who have given me pizza places in every single town and region in our listening area, including, and there's some that came in from Phoenix, Arizona, and other places as well. So I feel like I want to say thank you to everybody to give me so many different options.
How far do you really want to go?
Exactly. There is that, too, because, again, I'm paying for this, and, again, I would be driving. There's a lot that goes into that. This is not a huge treat. But I do feel like I finally get to choose the restaurant that we're going to.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
there we go.
That works out well.
Last night, you know, the Oscars, of course, we talked to Nancy O'Dell. One of the big issues that's playing out online today, of course, Ryan Seacrest, whether or not there was some sort of boycott or bias against him from, we heard Nancy kind of avoid the question on that.
Yeah.
But the question being, you know, did Ryan Seacrest, did people skip him? Did E! News actually get hurt by the fact that Ryan Seacrest, who's actually embroiled in a scandal around misconduct, sexual misconduct allegations, he's been cleared by an independent investigator at E! Mm-hmm. But then the accuser went public, the lawyer went public. So the question is, did celebrities avoid Ryan Seacrest?
I don't know. I watched the E! Coverage for about an hour and a half, and then I switched over to the the pre-show coverage on NBC.
ABC.
So, I mean, I don't know. I thought he didn't have any great interviews. I mean, and he was kind of standing off by himself, and he did have a couple of pre-tape pieces, which I thought, But, I mean, when you have a scandal surrounding you, I just think he kind of detracted a little bit from
maybe
the
Oscars. Flipped the roles. Like you said, they had Julian Rancic, who I love.
Yeah.
It was over at the Roosevelt Hotel hosting a roundtable on fashion. I'm like, put her on the red carpet, put him back. Anyway.
I would have flipped it too. Because her audience, like the staged audience that they had there, they look so bored. Didn't they?
They're like, we want to be over
just
two
flip
blocks
them
away.
And Juliana's great. I mean, she's a great interviewer. She could have easily done that. But I think if I'm Seacrest, just to take the attention off of myself, I would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. And now he's back on today with Kelly, and they're on the stage at the theater.
The other big issue, Kobe Bryant wins an Oscar for a short film, but interesting because the internet this morning has made it aware that, with the Me Too movement and Time's Up, strange move for the Academy to give an Academy Award to Kobe Bryant, who has rape allegations in his past. Here's their acceptance speech. This was both Kobe Bryant and Glenn Keane.
Thank you. Thank you, Academy. Thank you, Jenny Rim, Max Keane, our entire crew, for your incredible talents. My wife, Linda, for your years of love and support. And to Kobe for writing Dear Basketball. It's a message for all of us. Whatever form your dream may take, it's through passion and perseverance that the impossible is possible.
Well, I don't know if it's possible. I mean, as basketball players, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble, but I'm glad we do a little bit more than that. Thank you, Academy, for this amazing honor. Thank you, John Williams, for such a wonderful piece of music. Thank you, Verizon, for believing in the film. Thank you, Molly Carter. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And to my wife, Vanessa, our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, and Bianca, ti amo con tutto il mio cuore. You are my inspiration. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
The best part of that speech was that they had to ring the microphone all the way up for Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You know that? I know. Automatic. But there is a question. That. He has rape allegations in his past, misconduct. And he really does acknowledge that in the statement back in Colorado, back in that time. And this, the question being that in this year, it seems a little tone deaf. Now, we were kind of talking about it earlier in the show that it's L.A. You can understand why Kobe Bryant would win that because it's the Academy voters are all in Hollywood and L.A. They're all basketball fans. They like Kobe Bryant. But the question being, what a tough year to give that award to Kobe Bryant, who has those allegations in his past.
Yeah, I guess maybe... Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know how you do it.
In that case, too, right?
What do you do?
Should he recuse himself?
Maybe he is the best film of the five that were nominated, and you just go with it. But it just doesn't look good for the Academy.
Or maybe have somebody else involved with the film except for you.
Yeah,
well,
right.
But they kind of did, right? I mean, he went up,
right?
And accepted, but
maybe
he
not go up.
Wasn't
then.
By himself.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what
hard.
You do. I mean, it's a tough situation because as an artist he did get nominated. It wasn't necessarily an issue. It wasn't like the press went crazy that he got nominated. Now after the fact, I think it's more people who are just online and questioning just the unfortunate timing of Kobe Bryant and this year's Oscar.
Well, let's be honest too. What is the defining line for a nominee, whether it's a rape allegation, whether it's some other indiscretion? I mean, how do you decide
Absolutely.
Who's worthy of accepting an Academy Award?
But there are questions about whether or not James Franco was snubbed by the Oscars because of the sexual misconduct allegations that were floating around Hollywood. So, you're right. You get into a gray area and interpretation from the people at the Oscars. And in the case of Kobe Bryant, they obviously... gave him a nod.
It's like the Hall of Fame. I mean, the steroid user is going to get in or not.
Yeah. That's a good
point.
A good metaphor there. Andrea Darlis, Dave Ennett, myself, Justin Kaufman, in for Steve Cochran. We'll continue the conversation and the show here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, quickly, Christine has a good point about Kobe Bryant, essentially just talking about if someone nominated him for work, why keep them from the award for something that happened outside of work? You really think about it. Mm-hmm. That is interesting because that's something that happened as a basketball player, not a filmmaker. Something to think about. And she also says steroids is different because that affected the athlete, what the athlete did on the field to get that distinguished or that award.
But
such a gray area. But because it did propel him.
Of course.
Weak argument.
All right. There you go. We got it. We keep going.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I like digging
holes and hiding things. Justin Gottman in for Steve Cochran today. Steve will be back on Friday. Pete McMurray in tomorrow. Dean Richards on Wednesday. I'll be back on Thursday. So we're filling in, keeping the trains running on time. Andrea and Dave and the whole crew are here. So people don't get homesick without Steve. No, everybody else is
we're
here.
We're okay. He's keeping his heat warm.
This month, of course, it is March now, and it is Women's History Month, and it also means that coming up this Thursday is International Women's Day, which is a global day that celebrates social, economic, political achievements of women. And that is the impetus for Edgewater, the great neighborhood on the north side of Chicago, for Edgewater's International Dinner Crawl, which is going to be featuring cuisine from all around the world, presented by women-led neighborhood restaurants. In studio with us now, Katrina Balog, who is the executive director of the Edgewater Chamber of Commerce, and Michelle McAtee, who is the cake artist at Maddie Bird Bakery in Edgewater. You guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So where's this idea come from? This is obviously as you celebrate International Women's Day, but talk about the restaurant crawl.
Absolutely. So this is our second year doing the crawl. Women's Day, as you stated earlier in your intro, is celebrated all around the world, but there's not one particular way in which people celebrate. So for us in Edgewater, we knew we had a lot of women-owned businesses and a lot of immigrant women, and so we thought the perfect way to celebrate for us is to highlight those women and all the great work that they're doing in Edgewater. So last year we started our dinner crawl, and it's all the businesses participating are either women owned or co-owned. So Michelle is not only a cake artist but also the owner of Maddie Bird Bakery.
True story. Love it.
You know, it is an interesting question because to be the second year of doing this, I mean, it almost in Edgewater, I would say it's not something that could have been done 10 years ago, even maybe 5 years ago, but there has been an explosion, not just in just businesses coming to Edgewater, but female-run businesses in Edgewater.
Right. Well, the really exciting thing this year, we're actually increased the size of the crawl by having two separate routes. So the first year, we had one route. Everyone who bought a ticket went on the same route. This year, we have so many more businesses that want to participate that we created two routes. And so you can check out the menu of what people are going to be serving, check out the businesses you want to hit up, and then you pick your route. So you either go on the north side or the south side.
It's so wonderful. I think to add Justin's point, too, are you seeing now more with Me Too and Time's Up, you know, movement, women finally standing up for themselves and saying, and I know you're probably saying, because I've interviewed you before, you know, you're probably saying, hey, we've been here.
Right.
You know, hello, we are here. But more of a vocal part of this now that, yeah, we're here and we're here to stay.
Right. Well, it's exciting because some of our businesses are longtime business owners. I'm thinking of Almaz from Ethiopian Diamond, who came from Ethiopia, started her business on Broadway, it's got to be like 15, 20 years ago, has a second location in Rogers Park. So she's been a long time. And then someone like Michelle, who started just a couple of years ago and has seen success in the neighborhood. And so we've got this great mix of longtime women-owned businesses as well as newcomers.
Michelle, let's bring you into the conversation. How important is it for you to be a part of this dinner crawl? But also, I mean, we'll start there. And then the second question, we'll get into why is it important to be in Edgewater?
Those are great questions. It's really important for me to be a part of the dinner crawl because we're going to be celebrating our fourth year in business in our community. And as Katrina said, there are so many immigrants and refugees and women from all different backgrounds and families from all different backgrounds in our community. And they're all responsible for our success. And so I feel like participating in this event is very important for me personally. Edgewater is my home as well. That's where I live with my family. My daughter, Maddie, is the namesake of the bakery, and she even goes to school in Edgewater. And I said her name on the radio.
She's going to be.
I did it. I worked it in. Sorry, guys. But yeah. Living and working in my community is really important to me, and to benefit our community in any way possible is also part of what we value at Matty Bird.
You know what's cool too, and I think for Edgewater and for all the different communities too, and I'm sure you see this too, Justin, is that our city is so unique in that everybody supports each other. You know, we'll have chefs in, we'll have, you know, Mindy or Jimmy Banos or someone like that, but they're always supporting each other, and it seems like you guys all are too, being part of the community. You support each other's businesses too.
Yes.
Well, Michelle has an awesome story about how you started kind of incubating inside one of our longtime businesses in Edgewater. Do you want to talk a little bit about
that? It's true, yeah. I live downstairs. I used to live downstairs from the Dreyfus family. Tony Dreyfus is one of the owners of Metropolis Coffee, mm-hmm. which is one of our greatest roasteries here in Chicago.
Oh my God, I love their coffee.
I drink them every morning. You know, I had started this cake decorating business totally on the side. I had been an actor before, and it was Tony's help in letting me share his kitchen so that I could kind of incubate there while we pulled together enough resources and found a location for our bakery in Edgewater. He allowed me to share his bakery there, or his oven and kitchen there, sorry. And so it's always been a community effort from the start. Matty Bird has been.
You know, I always wonder, especially when you talk about trying to distinguish neighborhoods from other neighborhoods, and when you talk about awareness, because this this dinner crawl is one that you're celebrating the community and the people who have businesses in this community. But in your case with Matty Bird, a lot of the orders may not come from Edgewater. But I mean, talk about both of you can weigh in on that balance of having the community celebrate you and be a part of who you are and make sure that you're an Edgewater run business, and at the same time serving more than just the people that live in Edgewater.
Well, I think from the Chamber's perspective, that's part of our work, is to not only support business owners like Michelle by providing her the resources that she needs, or, you know, connections if she has questions, but hosting events like this dinner crawl, for example, is people from all over Chicagoland come to this. We have people from the suburbs who come in, men and women. You don't have to be a woman to go on the crawl, clarify that point. And so for someone like Michelle, she's getting all of these people who may or may not have tried her business before, who can be potential future customers. And so part of our work is making sure that the businesses within Edgewater have a wide audience reach and are getting their name out, though. So that's why we host events like this, to help them get their name out.
My last question just is, and Andrea, I'm sure you have questions too, but, you know, we've seen just in recent time you mentioned Me Too and some of the areas that the restaurant community is not immune to misconduct or harassment, mostly sexual harassment. We've seen this a lot in pastry chefs and people who are stepping forward, talking about women in different kitchens in Chicago, even, you know, to run a bakery and to have your own business. Talk about that. I mean, is that something that is pervasive, that there is harassment issues in kitchens, especially when it comes to pastries and cake making and things of that part of the industry?
I can't speak to that personally myself, because my kitchen is the only kitchen I've ever worked in. I'm an anomaly in that sense. I'm very fortunate, but I am self-trained, so I don't have that experience in a school setting or in another kitchen setting. But I know that it's something that we talk about as a staff. The world is changing, and we feel like we want to be at the forefront of that change. And if we can do an event that benefits a great organization like Girl Forward, then we're really excited to
that. Your website is so cool. You have some of the coolest looking cakes I've ever seen. One looks like a hamburger, the other looks like a pizza. It's obviously a cake.
Right, I know this is
like asking you to, you know, say which is your favorite child, but what's the most unique design that somebody has ever asked you to create?
Oh, goodness.
Or one of them.
I've had a lot of unique requests. I have not granted all of them.
Okay. The one that you can say on the air.
I can't say them on the air, but I encourage you to go to MattyBird.com and check out all those really cool cakes that I love to make.
This is so cool.
Thank you.
All right. Michelle McAtee is the owner and cake artist at Matty Bird Bakery. And Katrina Balog is the executive director of the Edgewater Chamber of Commerce. The Edgewater International Dinner Crawl will be happening on Thursday, March 8th, between 5 and 9 o'clock. What's the website for people to get
it's
information?
It's edgewater.org, edgewater.org. And we're easily accessible from the Red Line train. You can hop on Lakeshore Drive and get up in the neighborhood. Lots of parking. So any way you want to get to us, you can.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. Bill and Wendy coming up here. Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Ryan Burrow, Jen DeSalvo. Everybody's
so sweet.
Everybody's in the building.
Yeah.
It's a fun show. This was fun.
We had a good time. We had fun. And we'll see you. You're going to be back on Thursday, too.
Yeah. Cool. I will be on the download tonight.
Yeah.
Talking about my own show. We're going to talk about the Auditorium Theater, the history of that great theater down in the South Loop there, right on Wabash and Congress.
Oh, that you know what? I've not been there.
You've not been to the Auditorium Theater?
Oh, yeah, I have. I'm sorry, I'm thinking, you know what, I have been there. I take that back. Columbia College has so many different, you know, venues and buildings down there, and they have another...
When I was, well, the Auditorium Theater has been around since 1889, but here's the thing. When everyone who grew up in the area knows the Auditorium because you would always go on field trips. Like, I went I saw Les Mis.
Oh, my God.
1987.
I think I saw Les Mis there, and I saw Miss Saigon there when I was in high school.
I fell asleep during Swan Lake there.
I didn't add that part about falling asleep at Les Mis, but I did fall asleep at Les Mis.
Oh, well, we have that in common.
Yeah. And, of course, we went to Ed DeBevick's afterwards. You just had to do that.
Yeah.
That's what everybody was in for.
Ed DeBevick.
Did you get insulted by your server?
I loved it when I was 16. I loved it. When I went back when I was 40, I'm like, I don't understand this.
I love the people who went and didn't know that that's what it was all about, and they're like, oh my God, the service was so rude.
Have you ever been to Ed DeBevick's when it's gone, of course, now, but when you weren't really in the mood for it, and you try to tell the wait staff, like, it's cool. You know what? I know what you're doing, but it's cool. Let's just go ahead and skip this. I'll take the chicken fingers. I had an office right behind there for a second, and we were comedy writers, and we would go and get lunch there, and we're like, let's do it. And it was always that, you know what, guys, we're good. save the performance for someone else.
How could that place be gone? Wasn't it always filled to the rafters?
With
I was never in there where it wasn't
kids. Yeah.
Filled.
Great meatloaf too.
Why did they close?
Why do you laugh?
Great shakes. Good milkshake.
Green River. They had Green River.
Bill and Wendy are in the studio, of course. Good to see you guys.
Hi, Justin.
I specifically told Sandberg, I'm like, hey, listen, we're going to need at least 25 minutes for this crosstalk.
At least. I'd be shocked if it went less than an hour.
Awesome, guys.
Keep it going.
Thanks, Ryan.
What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
You know what? We're going to talk to this woman, Liza Long. She represents parents of shooters in a way. Mm. I always feel sorry for the parent of a shooter. They don't expect their kid to do this. And she has a child who has had issues, and that's what she feels like. So we're going to talk to her later on today.
That's a great angle, especially because half the time, instead of talking about other social ills, people can just fall back on bad parenting.
Mm-hmm. And people judge and people blame parents. And, you know, sometimes you try your best and you hope the best for your kids. You don't know that something's going to snap. You don't.
Yeah. So there's that. Also, I noticed something. I've watched the Academy Awards every year since I was a half year old.
For 90 years?
I've seen every show for the last 90 years.
You and Eva Marie Saint.
Eva Marie Saint. Last night I was at Douglas Fairbanks Jr.'s house. We had a great time watching it. I noticed something about the audience that I've never noticed before. Something happened last night with the audience. Ooh. I don't want to say yet.
All right. Don't
it's coming up.
Yeah.
I'll say it at the very end of our show at 1 o'clock.
Right.
Wait till 1 o'clock.
I'll keep teasing it for 3 hours, and then at the very end I'll reveal.
We had Nancy O'Dell on right at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, and she said, and Frances McDormand lost her Oscar. We'll tell you what happens on Entertainment Tonight tonight. We're like, well, she found it 5 minutes later. But
yeah.
I don't want to give it away, but the internet kind of beat you to that.
And I like how she teased it, too. She said, we'll tell you what happened. happened. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh. She talks very rapidly.
She does. But that was, I love that tease. And we'll tell you what happened at 6 o'clock.
Except when it comes to Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, Justin tried to go around there.
She does it with her family. I'll tell you what you guys are having for dinner at 6 o'clock. Mom, we're hungry now.
All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, that's going to do it. It's time for Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. Take it away, guys.